you, Jesus. I'm just going to begin with a reading of Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade. The Lord is your keeper. Excuse me. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. That's a good verse. We could hang on to that one. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. God, we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we have a hope and a help in you, that we can lift up our eyes to the hills. We can lift up our eyes to the maker of heaven and earth for our provision and protection. God, I just praise you and thank you for your word. Lord, as we read and study and speak of your word and just talk about how great you are today, God, I pray that you would inspire us, that you would draw us near to you, that you would send us out of here encouraged and blessed, filled up with your word, Lord, because we know that your word is living water to our souls. We just thank you for that. So, Lord, bless your word, bless the preaching of your word, and bless the messenger this morning, too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My message is entitled, Jesus is My Reward. This morning, I want to talk about the reward and the main reward that we as believers have ahead of us as we serve God and as we follow Him, as we honor God with our lives and really give all of ourselves to Him and to His service. There is a reward. And I was thinking about, you know, in the world that we live in, you know, in natural life, we're kind of used to getting a reward, getting a payback. Like, say, when somebody goes to work, they expect a paycheck. You know, sometimes when we do a good deed for someone, we expect a thank you. And, you know, there's certain expectations that we have. But one of the things about serving God and working for God and doing things for Him is we can expect a reward. The timing of the reward isn't always all that certain. You know, I know that God does bring blessing and reward to us here in this life, but I think that for most of us as believers, you know, the greatest reward that we will ever receive will be to see Jesus, to see Him face to face, to see Him and to know Him in that day in all of His glory. It will be an awesome time. So we just thank you for that. God, we praise you that you're our reward. All right, I'm going to read a couple things here. And this, talking about friendship with God, Genesis 15:1, talking about Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." God was speaking to Abram about the things that he had planned for him, the things that he was going to bless him with. But he's telling Abram, he says, "I'm your shield," and he says, "I am your exceedingly great reward." I think, you know, sometimes as believers even, we fall into this, I'm looking for a reward. I'm looking for some kind of a money thing, a material thing. Even the thank yous, the pat on the back saying you've done good, you know. And yet, the greatest reward is Him, is Jesus. Amen. And that's what He's telling Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. God is saying, I'm your reward, Abraham. You know, and Abraham, we know that Abraham served and followed and honored God, a great man of faith. The Bible calls him a friend of God. And but Abraham's reward was God Himself. Amen. That's I think the thing that we all have to look forward to someday. You know, we're not all going to be here forever. We're not going to be in this life forever or in this body forever. But someday when we pass from this life to our new life in heaven, God will be our reward. And we'll look at the things that he's blessing us with, whether it's a mansion or, you know, the streets of gold and all of the sights and sounds of heaven, the greatest reward that I know that we'll experience in that time, in that place, will be seeing him as he is in all of his glory, in all of his brightness. He is our reward. And, you know, maybe before I move on in the message this morning, I just want to say, you know, there are a lot of things that motivate us in life to do right and do good and all that sort of thing. And yet, I think if we would really take to heart this whole thing about someday I'm going to see him as he is, someday I'm going to see him face to face, and if that becomes the overwhelming thing that you're looking forward to, it will really affect your life. It'll affect how you live. It'll affect how you react. You know, I know sometimes we react. People around us do things and say things and whatnot, and sometimes we react either in good ways or bad ways, and we're affected by those things. But if we're looking forward to the reward of seeing Jesus face to face, a lot of times what people say and do, and sometimes they do things unwittingly to upset us, yet when we look to the reward that's coming, it really makes all of these other things seem so petty, so little. It's like, I guess, no big deal. I've often, maybe not often enough, but I've often said to myself when I've been upset or offended or kind of annoyed by something somebody did or said, you know, that affected me, every once in a while I'm in my right mind and I say something like, well, you know what? I guess I've done that too. I've been there too. I've been that same kind of a person to somebody else. And so God have mercy on us all. But when we're looking to Jesus as our reward, as the one that we're going to go see, all of these other things, they seem so small then. You know, the trials, the difficulties. I know, you know, in this season of time here, there are a lot of difficulties going on. There's a lot of things that are happening. And yet, if it's him that we're looking forward to seeing, it makes all of these other, you know, things seem pretty trivial, pretty small. Amen. Psalm 21:6, you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. The psalmist is talking about the presence of God. You know, that we are glad not because of what we get, but because of God's presence, because of his comfort, because of his companionship. I really know exactly a good word for it. I know we call it the presence of God sometimes, but just to know that God is with us, know that he's standing with us, know that he's here, and that he's holding us, and that he's walking with us, and that whatever trial, whatever difficulty we're going through, that he is there with us. His presence is there. And so that's what the psalmist is talking about. You've made him glad, exceedingly glad, with your presence. God's favor is upon us. I know sometimes the devil will want to convince us that God's either mad at us, or God is indifferent, or God really doesn't care all that much. God's got some favorites and we're not one of them. But that's not true at all. You know what? God's got a favorite. It's you. It's me. God has some favorites. As such, some of his favorites, he says, you know, you're my favorite, and so that's the reason I'm going to correct you and help you straighten these things out in your life. But as favorites of his, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. To know the exceedingly wonderful depth and height of the love of God, of his care for us and his presence in our lives. You know, if that is what is motivating you, it will affect everything that you do. It'll affect how you live and react and deal with other people. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, I think there are times when people will ask us, so how in the world are you handling all of this? And, you know, we can say, God is helping me. God is my helper. God is the one who's protecting me. God is the one who's shielding me. God is the one who's walking with me. And I know even sometimes when we give that explanation, to us it makes sense. To other people that just go, well, I don't know. That don't make sense. I wish I had that. I wish I could get that. But it is to know that he is above all those things. And he's going to help us. He's going to walk with us. Amen. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but, you know, when the blessing of God comes, when the favor of God comes, when the presence of God comes, we begin to really experience the favor and blessing of God. Sometimes the enemy looks at that and sees that, because I think the enemy recognizes it quicker than anyone else, sometimes even quicker than we do, and the enemy wants to attack and wants to destroy and kind of throw some water on God's fire. Amen? And so, just to be aware of the fact that when God's favor is on you, it sort of attracts the attention of the enemy. And I'm not saying you should say, well, I don't want the favor of God then, because I don't want the enemy's attention. The reason for the point that I'm making right now is that you need to be aware that when God's favor is on you, when God's blessing is on you, when you're walking with God and He is becoming your exceeding joy, when he's becoming the one that you're looking to, that you're believing in for all the things that you need, the enemy himself will try to short-circuit that stuff. He'll try to destroy it. He'll try to wreck what God is doing. And, you know, he's not going to be successful unless he can convince you that God is not strong enough to deal with it. But as long as you believe that God is enough, then you've got all the power that you need. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yeah, Jesus is talking here about persecutions and different sorts of things, but he's talking about your reward is great in heaven. When persecution comes and difficulty comes, know that there is a great reward that's coming. Amen. Hey, we're not alone. The saints throughout all the ages, even before Jesus' time, the prophets of the Old Testament, a lot of them were persecuted. A lot of them were tortured and killed and jailed and rejected. But yet God's favor was with them. And they went on to their reward, no matter what it looked like here on this earth. Amen. All right, I just have a reference in here, more for the notes, from 1 Corinthians 9, running the race to win. But and Paul is talking in that passage about running the race and fighting, you know, in a way that we look to win. But in 2 Timothy, Paul is talking about his own fight, his own race. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Sounds like a reward. "There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. But not just to me only, not just to the Apostle Paul, but he says, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That phrase sometimes that's used in there, "who have loved his appearing," it really speaks of people who are anxiously longing for the day when Jesus shows up again, when he breaks through the sky, when he comes back a second time, when he comes back to take his bride back home to be with him. He says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not just to him, but to any who will be longing for his appearing. From Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Yeah, that passage, at least for me, it talks about, Paul is talking to the people he's writing to here, the Hebrews. He's just saying, you know, you've got need for endurance. I think what he's saying is, hang in there. You know, tough it out. Go through this with God's help and with God's strength. Get through this, because there is coming a time when the reward will come. He says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he'll not tarry. You know, sometimes we say, Jesus, it's time for you to come back. I need you. I can't seem to go on any further, but a little while. I think that's what God's answer would be to our question, Lord, how long? He says, a little while, just a little longer. Just, you know, like the kids in the back of the car when you're on a trip. Are we there yet? Just a little while, a little longer. And I think that's what God is saying to us. Just hang in there. You've got need for endurance. Hang in there. You'll do okay. Just stay the course. Keep on the track, you know. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold fast. Hang on to what you've got. If you've got Jesus, and if you've got a relationship with him, and if you've got a connection with him, and you have a friendship with him, hang on to that. No matter what the devil throws at you, in fact, the devil a lot of times will whisper in your ear saying, you know, if God was really your friend and really loved you, why is he letting all of this stuff happen to you? You know, the best thing to do at that point is just say, devil, would you just get lost in Jesus' name? Go. Get out of here. God is with me. God's been with me. He's with me right now, and he's going to be with me in the days ahead. And someday I'm going to stand before his throne. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. That means, like, seriously, like, not just kind of, whatever, I'll just kind of do the minimum to get by. Do it heartily. He says, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. In Colossians here, he's talking about, you know, whatever you do. And he's talking about the physical stuff of this world. In fact, that whole chapter 3 talks about the various issues of life and having to do with dealing with life on planet Earth, life here, and how we should live as Christians. But he says, you know, whatever you do, do it heartily and do it as unto the Lord. You know, when we're working, when we're doing stuff at home, when we're doing stuff at the church, do it as if you were doing it for God. Because technically, you really are. You know, all that we do is for him and for his glory. Amen? And he says, you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. See, that's one of the things, and I won't go into too much of that right now, but an inheritance is something that someone else gets from someone. Let's say a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, or someone passes away and they leave something for their children or nieces, nephews, or grandchildren. And so there's an inheritance for them, for us. The inheritance that we have coming is an inheritance of a mansion and streets of gold and no more pain, no more tears. You know, We've got such an awesome inheritance. Nothing in this world can compare to it. That's really what we have to look forward to. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Now that's an interesting verse. In fact, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. When Jesus comes back, he's bringing reward with him. And I don't know how it's going to look or exactly how that's going to work out, but we haven't got all of the blessing that God is going to give to us yet. We've got some. We've got some good things. You know, we've got his presence. We've got an understanding of his word. We've got fellowship of the saints. We've got all sorts of good things, but yet there's greater coming. There's bigger things and better things coming. Amen. He will give to everyone according to his work. And I think, at least in my mind, it's not how much work you do, it's how well you do the work that he gives you to do. If God gives you a little something to do, do it well, and do it with all your heart, and do it with all your soul. Do it as for him. Do it for the reward of just pleasing God. Amen. Here's another one of those things having to do with the reward. Revelation 7:16-17. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's part of our inheritance. I mean, we'll have all of those other glorious things in heaven when we're with him. But God wiping away every tear from our eyes, all of the difficulties, the sorrows, the trials that we've gone through, and God himself will wipe away our tears. Amen. And I'm just going to conclude with this. God is smiling on you. God, his favor is with you and on you. Out of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, starting at verse 15. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I've always been amazed at that passage, because there are a lot of passages in the scriptures that talk about the people of God singing praises to God and singing to him. This is a passage that actually is speaking of God singing over us and rejoicing over us. I think that's hard to picture sometimes. It's like, what do you see in us, God? I mean, yeah, we know that you love us, but you're rejoicing and you're dancing. And some of there's a translation that I remember hearing one time how it talks about how God spins around dancing with joy over you. And he is smiling on you. He's smiling on me. God's favor is with us. God's blessing is on us. Amen. And with that said, we know that, you know, he is really our reward. Maybe there's a lot of things that we're looking forward to, you know, when we leave this life. Maybe the no more pain, no more sorrow, no more difficulties with our physical bodies not cooperating. But yet, he's our reward. But until that day comes, until that day that we're with him face to face, I believe that as we seek to please him, as we seek to honor him with our lives, that he is rejoicing over us. He's dancing over us. He's singing over us. That is just such it's really foreign in a lot of ways to the way that we think about God. We think about God who's kind of sitting on a throne with kind of a straight and stern face, and, you know, kind of a "don't you get out of line" kind of a face. And yet we don't picture a God who, not only the ruler of the universe, but this God who looks at us with favor and smiles on us and sings over us. Kind of an amazing thing. Well, Jesus is our reward. Of all the rewards that we're going to receive, anything that we're going to get in the days ahead, Jesus is going to be the greatest reward. Amen. We've already received a portion of that when we received him as our Lord and Savior. When we said yes to Jesus, and we said, "Yes, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and make me a new person." And we've received already some of the rewards and some of the blessings of being a follower of Jesus. And yet, there's more to come. There's greater things yet. Amen. I would like to just conclude here with a prayer. Maybe before I pray that prayer, I just want to say, you know, if you're thinking this morning that you're just going, "Well, God may be wild about some people, and God may be over the top with love and joy for some people, but maybe not me." You know, if you're here this morning or you're listening to this message, I just want you to know that God is looking for a relationship with you. God is looking to draw near to you. As you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And if you'll say yes to him, everything can change. Everything can change as you just give your life to him, surrender to him, and he'll make it all new, and he'll make it all better. Amen. And then you can experience the reward of knowing Jesus, the reward of being a believer, being one of those that have been bought with the blood of Jesus, adopted into the family of God, and on your way to heaven. Amen. And so if you're listening to this morning and you're saying, "You know, I want that," it's as simple as talking to God and saying, "God, I need you. God, forgive me, come into my life, and change me, make me new." Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are our exceedingly great reward, that we have so much to look forward to, and you've already blessed us with so much. And God, I pray that you would just help us to live our lives mindful of the fact that we're going to be with you forever and ever, and that this little span of time that we're going through right now here on planet Earth, God, it really is a short time. It seems long sometimes, but God, when it's over, we'll look back on it from eternity and wonder how we didn't see how short it was going to be, how quickly it was going to be over. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us to live that way, live mindful of the fact that the days ahead are greater, the days ahead are better, and the days ahead are longer. Thank you, God. We praise you for the reward. We praise you for heaven. We praise you for Jesus. And we just thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so that our sins could be washed away. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless us and help us to live as children of the light. In Jesus' name, amen.